My new project with Worldwide Pharma looks a lot like the project with Phantom Pharma. I heard we ran into some problems there. Hi, Ralph. I was hoping you could tell me about your experiences on that project. But I heard that we were not meeting our financial targets. How did that happen? Where did it begin to go wrong? So would I. That issue with Phantom Pharma must have been a major setback to us. I also think if you had identified and analyzed all the stakeholders well in advance, you would have been able to foresee a risk like this, since you would have identified the venture capital group as stakeholders. So, project sponsors, customers, team members, groups, and departments participating in the project, etc., are all stakeholders, right? That reminds me, you told me earlier about a case when an entire study had to be dropped because a certain vendor who was providing some on-site equipment for a study failed to provide the equipment due to some logistical issue. But don't stakeholders change frequently during the project? I'll remember that. The bit about classifying stakeholders on the basis of their interests, influence, and involvement, how do you suppose I should do that? That assessment sheet that you showed me should help me gain an insight into the needs and desires of the stakeholders, which in turn will be useful in determining the appropriate communication for each specific stakeholder. How do we manage the expectations of the various categories of stakeholders? What should I do while planning for risk management? From what I know, the key data points are those that are critical to the success of the project. Ralph should have taken the time out to familiarize himself with the project-related documents. Is it a free-form session or a structured mass interviewing type of session? I am surprised. Doesn't risk identification occur in many forums? How was such a crucial piece of information about the venture capital group missed? I see your point, Donna. However, I fail to understand how Ralph could have said that differently. The magic number 3 strikes here. What are these parts? I think I know how Ralph should have documented the risk. It should have been something along the lines of, since there are competing studies in the same area, patient enrollment may be prolonged beyond the projected completion date. This will cause a delay in database lock and completion of the study. There's something I've been meaning to ask ever since I heard Ralph's case. You spoke about the venture capital group that financed the customer we were dealing with. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed to me a case that was very specific to the customer. So we have indication, population, and customer-specific risks. Help me understand them a little more. Oh yeah, totally. So for population-specific risks, we consider the indication, age, and sex of the population, I guess. Were there other customer-specific risks that occurred in the past? That's a lot to watch out for. What happens when a customer has specific expectations regarding a trial conduct by Quintiles? I think the likelihood of a risk in a project is high when there are too many parties involved. So basically, if I have to summarize the risks around customers, that would be financial stability, competitive marketplace, customer expectations, and delegation of responsibility. What I gathered is that there's document review. Then we have brainstorming, as well as lessons learned and other risk library sources from previous studies. For all risks identified, I should use the risk meta language to describe the cause, risk, and effect of each risk. So I know about the risk analyses that help in the prioritization and ranking of risks, qualitative and quantitative risk analyses. These were the next in order in the process steps, right? My understanding says that during the qualitative risk analysis, we assess the probability of occurrence of a risk and its impact on the project. During quantitative risk analysis, we analyze the effect of identified risks on overall project objectives numerically, basically quantify the risks in terms of cost and time. Oh yeah, absolutely. How would I keep a track of the retired risks? So this is when we develop options and actions to enhance opportunities and reduce threats to project objectives. The way I see it, prevention is better than responding to risks. Before this conversation, I may have wanted to jump straight to the monitoring aspect of it. I understand now that we need to assess the complexity of the project, operational readiness, and operational performance. Thanks, Donna. Not to sound too overconfident, but I am aware that risks need to be monitored in QRPM PPM, and the risk log needs to be kept current by periodically identifying and reassessing previously identified risks. The response plans and triggers would also need to be regularly reviewed and revised for continuing applicability. Sure, Donna. Thanks for all the help. Donna suggested, and I agree, that I need to have an overall view of the project life cycle with respect to risk management. Who better than you could give me an idea about your encounters in the various phases of the project timeline, the key risks that are triggered, and your responsibilities around those phases? I know there are four phases, if that's what you mean. Pre-award, setup and startup, conduct, and close. What I don't know is how I fit into the bigger picture. I take that to mean there isn't a sequential break between these two phases. You said this risk was accounted for? Was it in the risk log the TSL came up with? Yes, please. Is this when I communicate with the proposal development team to understand the inherent risks and quintiles mitigation strategies before the bid defense? Is that an exhaustive list, the one that the TSL provides? I get that. What happens when an issue arises? And who is responsible for escalating these risks? What are the risks that I should expect during pre-award? During setup and startup, we focus on the prevention of risks, right? Yet, there may be risks that may occur during the setup and startup phase. What should I be looking for? What should I focus on at this stage? I'm sure the conduct phase is when most of the action happens. I understand that the project leaders and other functional leads may have been moved on to other projects. Those left may not have a good understanding of the project story, which is why it is important to capture lessons learned on an ongoing basis. Of course, what should I watch out for in this phase? I see. What are these activities of the PMA that I'm required to oversee? Do they also track risks in QRPM-PPM as and when they arise? Then I guess in the close phase, I am expected to conduct a lessons learned meeting along with the PMA, the OTLs, and the project stakeholders and capture information in QRPM-PPM. I'll take care of that. Thank you so much for your time, Ralph. It has been great listening to you share your experience. I think I'm good to go now.